Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. We understand that David, the victor, foreshadowed Christ's first coming when Jesus was victorious over sin. But Solomon, his son, David fought all these battles and this and that. Solomon didn't fight battle number one. The battles had already been won. It's a type of the second coming of Jesus Christ. When he comes again, he's going to sit on his throne, and that's going to be that. He's not going to work. He's not going to suffer. He's not going to ride around on donkeys. He's not going to sleep under trees or whatever they did, and not going to go to the cross again. His work is finished. He said it is finished on the cross. But Solomon is a type of the second coming and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Again, there's a lot of verses here, and if you're bored or whatever, I apologize, but it's important to understand, and let me say that you need to understand what the Bible says. Every little bit you can get helps you in your walk with God, helps you as you pray, helps you as trouble comes or whatever, and you're saying, what do I do? If you know the Word of God, then God can use it, and God can encourage you or help you or tell you what to do or what have you. You need to know the Word of God. And these obscure verses in the Old Testament are important. And as I'm showing you, they point to Jesus Christ. And they lay the foundation, if you will, for our theology and for the salvation that God gives for us. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 through 7. But the place which the Lord thy God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither shalt thou come. And thither shalt thou bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds, and of your flocks. And there shall ye eat before the Lord your God. Ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord God hath blessed thee. Let me say again, I've said it a million times maybe, you should put your trust in God. You should depend upon God because there's blessings for you. You bring your tithes, we understand that. We don't sacrifice bulls and goats anymore, but we do have free will offerings. We do have, maybe you make a vow to God. I know you should vow and not pay. I understand all of that, but you should dedicate your life to God. And certainly in Mitchin's tithes, again, we're familiar with that. But we should come to God and do these things. We should trust in Him. But it mentions people coming to God in this verse I just read. Remember the Queen of Sheba, she came to see Solomon and was impressed at the things of God. I'm going to talk somewhat about the millennial just a bit, I suppose, but again, this temple, now it's wandered around for 1,000 years or however long it was, but now we have a place that God had in mind. The temple was built there, and there it was going to stay. Except. God said, follow me, keep my commandments, what have you. And they said, no, we won't. Book of Judges, all about, no, we won't. Book of Kings and Chronicles tells about, no, we won't. God continues to try to lead his people, rescue his people, overlook the things his people did, and they kept saying, no, we won't. God got tired of that and punished Israel took him behind the woodshed, had the Babylonians come and beat them. And the battles would have you beat them. They lost. The Babylonians won. Babylon, that's in Iraq, by the way. And God said, and God did, carry them away captive in Babylon. And they stayed for 70 years away from their home, away from the house of God, away from everything. God was tired of them sacrificing and serving other gods. He took them behind the woodshed, and finally, after 70 years, they began to come back. And they were very thankful to come back. And you know, they didn't worship other gods after that. But God spoke to King Cyrus, and then later on to Darius. We sometimes pronounce it Darius, I suppose, and the older pronunciation is Darius. But God said, I'll rebuild the temple. And God sent Ezra and Nehemiah to do so. Daniel chapter 9, I'll read this familiar passage. Daniel chapter 9, verse 23 to 27. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, remember it was destroyed by the Babylonians, to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, that's Jesus Christ, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And if you read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, you understand the troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Hallelujah! Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. He died on the cross, but not for himself. He was innocent. We were the guilty. Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. But understand, we're talking about the tabernacle, the temple of God. It was destroyed because of sin, what have you, and God's judgment against idolatry. He says, I'll rebuild it. And again, in Ezra and Nehemiah, you can read all that saga of how God made it happen and all the troubles that they had. They had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, or something like that. It was rough. But look at this prophecy. From the commandment that Cyrus and whatever gave to restore and to build until the coming of Jesus Christ was exactly 483 years to the day. To the day. From the time that commandment was given, the king wrote it and put a seal or whatever, until the time that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey was 483 years to the day. Now, do you think maybe this temple is important? Because it prophesies of the coming of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that glorious? Now, it goes on, and I'll read just a little bit more. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Well, we're just rebuilding it. What's this about? And the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. We've just rebuilt it. It's going to be destroyed. Sacrifices are going to be made to stop. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Well, that's a lot of stuff. It's end-time prophecy. I want to spend a lot of time on that. But look, in the middle of this prophecy of the temple, it says that Jesus is going to come. We saw that. And then the temple's going to be destroyed. And then the Antichrist is going to come and what have you. You know, a lot of people want to read about or hear about or study or whatever prophecy. And they always think in terms of, well, the Antichrist and etc. and 70, you know, all of this stuff. 10 nations. And they're right. That's prophecy. End times prophecy. The second coming of the Lord Jesus. But, you know, we just read of both comings. I love end times prophecy, but I prefer to read about the first coming. To me, it's far more interesting to read about when he came the first time. But make no mistake, he's coming the second, and you need to be ready. And most of you, if you're listening to my radio, if this makes it to radio, aren't ready. Get ready. Quit playing church. Don't understand, don't know about your situation, but you need to live for God again if you're listening by radio. Then there was Herod's temple. By studying, we understand that Herod completely rebuilt Zerubbabel's temple, the one that we just read about, Ezra and Nehemiah would have you. He completely rebuilt that temple. He even redid the mountaintop that it sat on, because it was a slope and whatever, and so he shored it up and whatever, made everything flat. But this temple was destroyed in AD 70. Mark chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, Jesus, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. We understand that you go to Jerusalem and there ain't no temple. There's this big thing, big mosque, Dome on the Rock, but there ain't no Jewish temple. There's the external wall of the city. There's a little bit left. Just a little bit left. And you've seen pictures of them praying at the Western Wall. That's it. That's all that's left of the temple. That's all that's left of the city that Ezra and Nehemiah and would have you rebuilt. It's all that's left. And they were thrown out again. What did they do that time? Well, they rejected their Messiah, and God tossed them back out. But one day, he's going to bring them back in again. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever look down upon the Jews. Don't make any nasty comments about the Jews. God loves the Jews. You're second, Christian. Be not high-minded, but fear, Paul said. Yeah, okay, fine. He did what he did, but he can graft them back in again. Jew first, then the Gentile. And if your denomination's against Jews, well, God's against you. Sorry. But there was another tabernacle. The tabernacle of believers. John chapter 2, verse 19 and verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And man, the Pharisees, and they got all bent out of shape, and 40 years, and all of this stuff. But he spake of the temple of his body. He was telling them, You're going to kill me. You're going to nail me to the cross, put me in the ground, etc. But in 3 days I'm going to rise again. We understand that he said he was a temple. He was speaking figuratively. But you know, we too are temples. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? If you're a Christian, if you're truly born again, God comes to live on the inside of you, again, by the agent of the Holy Spirit. You can say, Jesus is in my heart, and yes, he is, again, because the Holy Spirit testifies that he is, and testifies of what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Ooh, wait. Say that? Yeah, he said that. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Well, I'm going to meddle. Christian, smoking, why are you doing that? Christian, doing drugs, why, sitting on the sofa watching soap operas, why are you doing that? God is holy. God lives in you. Stop doing that. All right, I'm done meddling. Oh, maybe I'm not. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Think about that. But there's another temple. And I don't have perfect understanding on this. We got bits and pieces, a little scripture here, a little scripture there, and conclusions and supposition. I don't want to spend much on end times prophecy. This sermon's not about that. But during the tribulation and during the millennial reign, we understand that there's going to be some sort of temple worship. Don't understand it, but it seems that there are going to be sacrifices that are performed during the tribulation period. We think we understand about the end time. I think I understand it pretty good, but I could be wrong. I want everybody to understand that. You could be wrong if you're a Bible expert or whatever. You know, there are various denominations and various schools of thought and etc. And some say this and some say that and they argue about it. I think our view is the right one. We could be wrong. How's that for pride? Haha. But what's going to happen during the millennium? Forget about the tribulation. What about the millennium? There seems to be some activity in the temple. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Just like the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon. In the millennium, people from Guatemala, people from Vietnam, people from Siberia, they're all going to come and bow their knee to Jesus Christ and worship at His temple. It's going to happen. And I can't wait for that day, I'm telling you. But I want to look at one last temple, which is the bride that comes out of heaven. You know, God's going to remake the earth in Revelation. After everything's all done, going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The former things passed away. All things have become new, etc. The river coming out of God's throne and all the trees and the healing of nations and all of that stuff. But in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, and 3 and 9. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Remember, Thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which is God with us. God came down from heaven. God bowed the heavens and came down, if you want to quote Psalms. And darkness was under His feet. But God Himself came down in the form of Jesus Christ and tabernacled with men. He lived with men for 33 and a half years. But again, one day He's coming back. And after all is said and done, the last chapter of the Bible, it says that God will bring His new city, His holy city, New Jerusalem, from heaven. Now, everybody wants to go to heaven, and you ought to go to heaven. But one day, heaven's going to come to men. And really, it happened once already 2,000 years ago. But this time, it's going to stay. I'm going to sit beside the river of life. Hallelujah. Got that old song ringing in my head. Can't wait. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God and all of heaven comes to man, comes to earth. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. We understand that Jesus is the Lamb of God. We understand that when he was arrested, he didn't put up a fight, and he didn't defend himself at the trial and what have you. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. But when heaven comes to earth, all believers are the bride of the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So this study, I believe, will be informative and a blessing. And again, we get numerous chances to read about Jesus Christ as shown to us in the Old Testament. Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to dig into your word. Thank you for an opportunity to be taught from the Master. Help us to understand the word of God. Help us to love the Lord just a little bit better. And be moved to serve him with our whole heart. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Though it hide thee, of sinful man, thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy. There is none beside thee.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.